So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes.
Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F-35A.
Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
In an attempt to keep Wisconsin residents informed of developments with the COVID-19 health emergency, Wisconsin Eye is interviewing those on the front lines of that health emergency. So on February 24th, Brigadier General Paul Knapp was named to head the Wisconsin National Guard. So General Knapp, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to Wisconsin Eye and our viewers, sir.
Oh, thanks, Steve. It's great to be here. Love to talk about the Wisconsin National Guard and actually anything Wisconsin.
Well, let's talk about yesterday's big announcement. F-35s will be coming to Truax Field. That's a big deal, but tell us how big a deal it is for the military and the role of Truax Field in our nation's defense.
Yeah, Steve, it's a great thing for both the 115th Fighter Wing as well as the Madison area and the Wisconsin National Guard. It is a real big deal. The F-35 is the latest technology in fighters for the United States Air Force and across the military. It's also used by the Marines and the Navy. And having our own squadron of F-35s here in Wisconsin is going to bring not only that capability for the United States Air Force through the National Guard, but it also brings a huge financial benefit to the area. The F-115th Fighter Wing, their economic impact is about $100 million a year to the area. And then in addition to that, the construction that we're going to be doing in order to prepare for the F-35 is going to be about $90 to $120 million to the local area construction.
Wow. What type of buildings, what type of facilities will have to be built, General?
Yeah, so you're going to hear about a couple different types over the coming months, but the two types that I can highlight right now are the simulator. Whenever you have a high-tech fighter like the F-35, you always want to have an on-site simulator for training of the air crews. Primarily, what we use a simulator for fighters is to train for those emergency situations and emergency procedures. As you can imagine, it's one of those things that you definitely want to train on the ground before you would see something in the air. And so the simulator building is going to be key for training. And then the other buildings that are key are going to be the hangars. So the hangars need some updates and additions, and so we're going to be updating and adding to the hangars.
How many citizen soldiers now in the 115th, and how will those numbers change in 2023 when we begin to get the F-35, sir?
Got it. There's about 1,200 total airmen assigned to the 115th, and then we've got about 500 of those are full-time positions. And in terms of a change once with the F-35, there won't be a significant change to the manpower going forward with the F-35. It's going to be remove the F-16 and replace it with the F-35.
What does the F-35 do that the F-16s don't, sir?
Well, with the F-35, one of the big things that we talk about is the stealth technology that it brings, and it's considered a fifth-generation aircraft. Fifth generation is the latest generation, and one of the things that the fifth generation brings is their ability to add a next level of technology to the fight. And so those are probably the two big additions of the F-35.
What about those that are concerned about the additional noise level, sir?
Well, first of all, in terms of those that are concerned about the noise level, I just want to make sure that we're definitely on board as good neighbors and community members to try and alleviate and address those concerns of those people that will that have concerns about the F-35 and potentially additional noise. So we'll work together with those folks and definitely with all of the partners involved, the city, the county, and the state, as well as the National Guard, to try and mitigate those concerns.
Okay, now let's turn to the governor's executive order number 72, General. That activated the Guard to help in this pandemic emergency. Could you give us the broad strokes in terms of how the Guard is helping, sir?
Yes. So we've been involved since the beginning, And we've mobilized over 400 citizen soldiers who are from all over the state for the initial response to COVID. We've done missions including warehousing, isolation facilities, and then we have other ongoing missions for specimen collection, mortuary affairs, as well as other missions that we've accomplished. The one that I'm sure you know about and a lot of people have been talking about was our support for the election in the polling places.
Yes, I find that very fascinating. Now, according to the Elections Commission, up to 2,500 guards, members of the Guard could have been deployed. How many actually worked as poll workers, sir? Do you know?
We got the number is 2,454, if memory serves me right.
Right.
It's right in that ballpark. And we were able to send those guardsmen out to 71 of the 72 counties. So it was a huge lift on the part of the National Guard, but it just speaks to the professionalism of the Wisconsin National Guard. It was so proud of all the troops involved and getting them out there and serving in their communities. As you know, most of the Guard, we're your neighbors. We're your friends. We're out there. Vast majority have jobs out all across Wisconsin. And when they were called by the governor to answer and help at the polls, they were there.
The Elections Commission said every member of the Guard who worked as a poll worker got a 3-hour training. What I find so interesting is these Guard members who worked as poll workers were working in their local regions. I mean, where they live and work, correct, sir?
Definitely. And that actually was one of the most difficult parts of this puzzle is we couldn't just call up all of these the Guard members and just send them out. We had to actually match the availability of the Guard members with their local counties. Because as you know, with state statute, in order to be a poll worker, you have to be doing it in your home county. So that was definitely part of the puzzle. And we had Brigadier General Bader was assigned specifically to that role on our part of the Guard part to facilitate that in support of the Election Commission.
Knowing how proud you and other Guard members are of the uniform, why was it decided not to wear the uniform when they worked as poll workers, General?
Well, the big reason not to wear uniforms on that day is really to make everybody feel more comfortable about their role at the polls. And as you know, it's a kind of a hot button topic, who can be present at a poll, and the distinction between whether someone's a federal military member or if they're in support of the state is hard to distinguish. And so one of those ways that we wanted to make people feel more comfortable about their role was to put them in their civilian clothes, just like you would see them at the grocery store.
Okay. There's a question about the city of Milwaukee, which cut its number of polling places from 180 to 5. Did any Guard members work in the city of Milwaukee polling places, General?
Yes, they did. And the way that worked was we sent all the poll workers that we had for each of the counties out to the counties. And then the counties divvied up the poll workers within their county to the individual polling sites. And we sent about 230 Guard members to Milwaukee County. And many of those were used in the city of Milwaukee.
Do you know, had more Guard members been used in the city of Milwaukee, whether the city could have opened more than 5 polling places, sir?
No, that's that. I can't even speculate on whether or not that would have been possible. I think that was a local decision in Milwaukee, and it was up to them how they handled the Guard members that we made available to them.
Okay. Now, one of the services that Guard members are providing during this emergency involves healthcare. I know they were at the Grafton Nursing Home, and you mentioned some more mortuary issues. Can you talk about members of the Guard working on healthcare issues, sir?
Sure. So they went to the Grafton Nursing Home. That was early on, and there was a COVID outbreak there, and which resulted in some staffing shortages. And so the call came through the state, like in all emergencies, the way they're designed is a call comes up from the local level up to the State Emergency Operations Center. Yes. And then their call came out for staffing assistance. And so we had a team on standby for circumstances just like that. And so we dispatched the team to go out there and help them with their staffing shortage until the owner of that particular nursing home could get more stable staffing going forward. And as soon as that happened, then we took them off mission and repositioned them to get ready for the next mission.
What were the specialties of those that, in the case of the Grafton nursing home, sir?
Those were all medics. So basically they acted in a medical monitoring role and assisted the remaining medical staff that was on site.
Are there any Guard members now in nursing homes? You and I have read the headlines nationally about the problem with COVID in nursing homes. Any of our Guard members now in nursing homes, General?
We don't have anyone right now staffing nursing homes or assisted living facilities, but we did send a team of about 30 out to an assisted living facility in Sheboygan for a day, and they established a mobile testing site. That site also did have an outbreak, had positive COVID positive, both, I want to say patients, it's not patients, they had residents. They had positive residents as well as staff. And so what we did is we went out and we tested the majority of the residents and the staff so that they wouldn't run into one of those staffing shortages that we had seen at the previous nursing home.
Mortuary services, have the Guard members been called on to provide any of those services, General?
Yes, we currently have, I think it's a team of six right now assisting in Dane County with the coroner's office and just assisting with the increased number of people that are coming into the mortuary system in Dane County and across the state. And really what that speaks to is the seriousness of this COVID-19 epidemic. And it also kind of illustrates how, as the Wisconsin National Guard, the flexibility of being ready and able to help wherever we're needed across the state.
Now, you're supervising the Emergency Operations Center. From a planning standpoint, are you being told that Wisconsin has, the number of Wisconsin cases has peaked, will soon peak? What are you hearing in terms of the next few weeks, sir?
Well, Steve, your guess is as good as mine in terms of the peak. Or the plateau. As you've seen, there are so many different models out there, and we have a lot of really smart medical and public health folks working on it. But and we're hoping that we can pinpoint that, like you asked, but there really isn't a way, as you've seen across the other states, to really pinpoint a peak. So what we're doing is we're trying to make sure that the services that we have available across the state exceed the demand wherever that peak is or whatever day that happens.
Do you keep X number of guardsmen on active duty just so you can move them around pretty quickly to respond to any regional issues, General?
Definitely. We do have, and we've had many of the Guard members that we've had on initially on state active duty and now on Title 32 federal orders in support of the state. We have them on standby and ready to react at a moment's notice in case something would pop up around the state. The other thing that I wanted to mention in terms of the Emergency Operations Center is we are right now in tornado and flood season. And so we also have to maintain that capability to respond to one of those emergencies if it would arise, in addition to this ongoing response to the COVID epidemic.
Earlier you mentioned that Guard members have been involved in some warehousing. Can you talk about that, sir?
Definitely. So there's a warehousing mission that's been going on since early and middle of March when we started to receive PPE or personal protective equipment.
Yes, sir.
To respond to the COVID threat. And so what we've done is, as a state, we received from the Strategic National Stockpile PPE that went primarily to the healthcare providers around the state. And then we also set up a donation site and also have a very aggressive acquisition policy trying to locate personal protective equipment and other items such as ventilators from across the country and the world. And we bring all of those items into the warehouse and then distribute them where they're needed around the state. And the National Guard, we've had 30 guards members there assisting in both in all aspects of the facility to include the distribution side.
Have there been any shortage of PPE equipment for Guard members? Probably Guard members are so unselfish, so probably going to want to pass it on to healthcare workers.
Well, The guard members, I appreciate that, and they would. Given the choice, they would definitely put the mask on someone else first. However, we've been using the same rationing of PPE with the guard members that we have across the healthcare community in order to try and make sure that we preserve that PPE as long as possible. And so the other thing on PPE, one of the most high demand items is the N95 mask. You've seen it in the news. It's the mask that is used in healthcare. And one of the good things about using the guard is we have our own masks that are more permanent. And it's what you would picture. I don't have one here to show you, but it's a black mask, and it's designed for responding to other types of chemical and biological use, but we can use that. It also protects with COVID. So if we were to set up a mobile testing site or another site where we would need to use a mask, we can use those masks that are reusable, and then we wouldn't need to draw on that supply of N95 masks, which are primarily going to healthcare.
I want to ask you about a comment that the governor made at one of his DHS briefings, General. He said that he was asked about the incident of COVID, both with state prison inmates and guards. And he mentioned the possibility of members of the Guard, National Guard, working as prison guards. Could you talk about that? Are some Guard members being trained as potential prison guards, sir?
Well, Steve, that's actually a great question. And the support for the Department of Corrections in the prison system is a longstanding and ongoing mission. So we have different guard units all over the state that have, for a number of years, been trained to respond in case they were needed within the prison system. So we haven't actually had to bring anyone on and give them special training because they're already trained for that role.
They are.
And we haven't actually had to mobilize anyone in that role yet. The prison system has been very stable, and they've done a great job of dealing with the crisis. But we monitor that on a daily basis, and we're ready to step in at a moment's notice if one or many of the prisons would need assistance. And this is also similar to – this is not unusual, and it's similar to a lot of states across the United States in terms of a guard role.
From the standpoint of leading our guard, sir, what issues are you going to be watching over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks in terms of other potential ways that guard members could help?
So a couple things that are happening over the next couple weeks that we're looking at closely. One is as the capacity to do additional testing comes up, you can probably expect to see more guard teams of specimen collection teams out there in the field. We're working on that right now. We're trying to make sure that before we set one of these mobile sites up, that we actually have the capacity to get the test kits in, and then also on the other end to do the lab analysis piece. And we're getting to a point where you might see some of those out there. We're planning and prepared to do that. Additionally, the alternate care facility is getting close to standing up in Milwaukee at State Fair Park. A number of guard personnel working in the preparation of getting that facility stood up. And then we also have some available that could help in the staffing if there is a civilian staffing issue with the alternate care facility.
How many guard teams do testing, sir?
So right now I have 3 teams stand up and ready to go and react at a moment's notice to something like we mentioned with the nursing home. I do have the ability to mobilize more if the need arises. And we're looking at the numbers right now and the capacity to actually run those tests through the lab. And if we need to bring on more to increase that capacity based on what we have in the system, then we will.
Governor Evers has said he's asked members of his cabinet, which of course includes you, to give them give the governor and his staff a list of what they need to going forward. So what's on the guard's list of what they need for the next 1, 2, 3 months, sir, in terms of the pandemic?
Well, that's a tough one. We're wrapping up our lists across the state in the State Emergency Operations Center. I would say that in terms of the guard, what we need is, and what I would ask is, is just for the cooperation of everybody in the state of Wisconsin. We're working really hard to from across the state, not just in the Guard, to try and get to the other side of this COVID-19 epidemic. And the thing that we would ask for is just for people to adhere to the guidance. And as the guidance changes, to keep up with the guidance and just help us help them across the state.
How many Guard members have been tested and how many positives, General?
So that's one of the things, Steve, that we are not currently discussing in terms of the numbers or how many we have or how many we don't have. But what I can tell you is that we have a very strict protocol on when someone has symptoms. It's very similar, or it's actually the same as the DHS guidance that's been put out, matching the CDC guidance in terms of social distancing and hand washing and then isolation if they were to get become symptomatic.
I understand that you can't give us numbers, but is it fair to say some members of the Guard have tested positive, sir?
I know you're trying to get me to answer. So I'll...
The role of a journalist, sorry.
right. So I will tell you that we have had Guard members test positive. And okay. We're monitoring and taking care of them to make sure that they don't get more serious than they already are. In the Guard, the way it works is they go through their civilian healthcare provider, just like everyone else. So they'll be monitored by their civilian healthcare provider. And then, as we like to say in the Guard family, you have an extra layer of defense where we're checking up on them and making sure they're well taken care of.
Okay. There's a new visibility of the Guard with this pandemic. So what's your elevator speech for why a young person in Wisconsin should join the Guard now?
Well, I think the elevator speech is it's a more of a commercial. And just look at it, all the ways that the Guard is involved in helping out their friends and neighbors. And it's part of a great team and a great family. And it's a two-way street. We offer young kids and actually I should say not just young kids. We have we recently have had a lot of folks who are my age decide that they wanted to sign up for the National Guard. And so it's not just for young people, but if you want to serve your country and serve your state, the Wisconsin National Guard is a great place to do it.
Are there about 10,000 members of the Guard? I saw one number, 9,600. What's the latest number, sir?
It's roughly 10,000, split about 75% Army and 25% Air Force.
Okay. I was kind of intrigued. You joined us from a very important job elsewhere. How does your current almost 8 weeks on the job helping fight a pandemic compare to your previous job, which was maintaining and monitoring the nation's nuclear weapon readiness, sir? Any comparison?
Well, it's different, but I do have to say that the last 7 weeks here have been, difficult, they've been challenging, but they've also been some of the most rewarding weeks in my military career. Just seeing not just the National Guard, but this team of Wisconsinites come together like I've never seen in my life. And to be able to be a part of that and to be leading a portion of it is just an honor and a privilege here in my home state of Wisconsin.
Brigadier General Paul Knapp, a native of Antigo, welcome back to Wisconsin. And anytime you want to update, Wisconsin I stands ready, sir. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for your service, sir.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a great day.
Thank you.
This program is a production of Wisconsin I, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin I is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.